Each week, I go out to lunch with a business thought leader, and we talk business, but you get to come along and listen in. This week, my lunch guest is John Norris, a thought leader in the area of agriculture, rural development, policy, and politics. Now, before we go out to lunch for the longer segment, I get to ask John three questions, the same three questions we ask each guest. We call this Quick Bites, and we do that with John Norris before lunch at Trostel's Dish.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
It is Out to Lunch with John Norris, ladies and gentlemen. We are at Trostel's Dish in Clive, Iowa. And if that name, John Norris, sounds familiar, it should, because he has a long history. And what we do is we take thought leaders out to lunch and we pick their brain and talk about some cool stuff. John, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Great to be with you here at Trostel's, Mike.
You know, we go back a couple of decades.
Yes, at least a couple.
And it was what year?
1982,
which, by the way, you reminded me of that several times when you were running for governor. And I got to love it. You
whatever
know?
It takes.
Whatever it takes, right? So, yeah, 1982. What were you doing in 82?
Out of college, went to work for Tom Harkin for his last race for U.S. House.
And then, let's see, that was successful? Was that successful?
Well, it was. It was successful, and then I stayed on to open his congressional office.
Right.
So we got to know you in Fort Dodge during my time there, and then worked on his U.S. Senate campaign in 1984.
Yeah. And then you were also running up on a presidential campaign in 1988, which was very controversial, wasn't it?
Well, it was probably the most similar caucus campaign to this cycle when we had so many candidates. And I was managing Jesse Jackson's campaign in Iowa.
Yeah. What a time that was.
It was an incredible time, right in the depths of the, you know, just on the heels, I guess, of the farm crisis. And transition from the Reagan administration. So there's some built-up animosity and amongst Democrats looking for a new champion. And a lot of good candidates in that 88 race.
It really is amazing when we stop and we think about this. And I know I came to Iowa in 1979, John, and I remember very well my very first attempt at going to an Iowa caucus. And I thought, what madness is this? But it really does bite you. The bug bites you, doesn't it?
It does. It's just it's like as about a healthy of exercise as democracy as we see in politics today. It's community-based, people getting together, making arguments, discussions about issues and candidates. It's very organic.
And you have to face, it's unlike anything else. You have to face other people who are rooting for other candidates and then do the horse swapping and all the other 15%, and it's great fun. For those of you who are not in Iowa and you're listening to this wherever you are in the world, you're going, what kind of silliness is all this? But it really is a fun adventure, especially for those of us who have some political bent.
I think it's so healthy for the party, too. We get this notion of that elections are supposed to be, you know, run with like primaries and general elections and a voting booth and ballot box. But this is really the party's process for choosing their delegates for the national convention.
Yeah.
And they align by presidential candidates. But it is very engaging. I think I hope that the caucuses go on forever.
Yeah, there's a switch up this year. They're allowing people to call in or be virtual caucus goers, and it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out.
It will. I mean, they're giving people an avenue to participate
right.
who can't make it to the caucus, which I think is positive, but still want to preserve what a caucus is.
Right. John Norris, ladies and gentlemen, he is a partner at State Public Policy Group. What is State Public Policy Group? What is that?
I like to say if you've got a problem or an issue that you can't resolve, we help you figure it out.
Really?
And that's, we do some government work. We do a lot of work with nonprofit organizations, and we do a lot of work with the corporate side, too. We have a market research division that does a lot of focus groups and polling. We do strategic planning, facilitate organizations that want to have a strategic plan. So it's a mix of interesting things for a lot of different issues. So after-school care is one of our big issues. We do a lot of work across the state trying to expand after-school care for kids.
We're going to get into lots more of your pedigree, John, as we continue our discussion as we go out to lunch. But this is called Quick Bites.
Okay.
This is Quick Bites. We ask each and every one of our guests the same three questions.
These are the hors d'oeuvres, huh?
Yeah, this is the hors d'oeuvre, Quick Bites, yeah. It's a shared plate, ladies and gentlemen. So first question is book. What book, John Norris, have you read recently or ever that's had a big impact on you, and why?
Well, I've read so many great books, so I'll have to go with most recently. I just finished last fall the Growing a Revolution by David Montgomery. He also authored Dirt. And it's just a great, I think, insight to what we're doing to our land and our soil and our water. It motivates me to be more engaged on those issues.
And you are quite the ecology-minded individual. I mean, I see your passion run deep with that because you come from the farm.
I come from the land. Closeness to the land is my roots, yeah.
Red Oak, right?
Right, correct.
And, you know, when you come from rural parts of the country and you've been in farming, you have a real appreciation for maintaining or improving our lot, I would think, yes?
Yeah, I think, I wouldn't say that farmers, like I say, we're all environmentalists, but our policies have driven farmers away from being conscious environmentalists. But I think that shared love for the land is what is so common throughout rural Iowa and rural America.
All right, so we've got the book is Growing a Revolution. Movie. What movie, John? You're chuckling.
Well, there's going to be a consistent theme here.
Oh, yeah? Really?
How can you not be worried about climate change today and think that Al Gore's
Inconvenient Truth.
Inconvenient Truth, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I was having trouble with inconvenient, but yes, Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah.
It's so relevant today.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't people get it? What is it that keeps folks from... I mean, Al Gore has been the brunt of all kinds of jokes. You know, people say, well, what do you mean climate change? What do you mean global warming? It was 30 degrees, the other day. And why? Is it easier just to...
Well, I think it's certainly... You can't... Until now, recently, I think in past years, you couldn't really physically see it that much. But now we're seeing it in examples every day across the planet. I think there's a lot of folks who are invested in perpetuating denial and a lot of money behind feeding that denial. And it's easier to deny a problem that requires us to make adjustments than to make the adjustments.
Yeah.
And since we are a planet of multiple nations... No one can act alone and make that big of an impact. So it's such a complicated issue to get our head around, both physically and politically. The world desperately needs leaders to step up and lead.
As we talk about leaders leading on climate change, as we all know, the United States pulled out of the Paris Accord. And we have 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, someone that doesn't necessarily believe in climate change. But at the same time, individual states have picked up the mantle, so to speak, haven't they?
They have. Yeah, states have, cities have.
Right.
And certainly a number of nations across the globe have. So it's about having strong local leadership. And I think people generally that... If they take the time to understand the issue, cannot be in denial. And if you get to that position, then you want to take action. And enough people are stepping up to create a critical mass of folks. And if it becomes and it is becoming a very important voting issue, we're seeing it in this Democratic caucus cycle that'll help drive policy change.
John Norris, ladies and gentlemen, we're out to lunch at Trostel's Dish in Clive, Iowa, and we're doing Quick Bites. All right, final question of the three questions we've got for you, John. If you weren't doing what you were doing right now at SPPG, what would you like to be doing?
Well, there's the other obvious answer to that. I'd like to be the governor right now, but that didn't work out so well.
It didn't work out very well.
But, you know, I love what I'm doing right now, and also politics, I've always been motivated by economic and social justice issues, and see government and policies as a vehicle for doing that. So whatever role I can play in helping us make it a more fair and just world is what I enjoy and motivates me. But if I had to choose, I'd be a country western singer.
A country western singer. Well, you got the boots. You know. You, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a photograph of. I do. As a matter of fact, I do have a photograph of you sitting on a table at a supporter's home when you were running for governor. And your boots are clearly visible. I'll have to find that and go ahead and make sure I post that.
Folk singer, country singer. I grew up, my family had the Norris Family Band when I grew up.
Is that right?
We played around Southwest Iowa.
So well, why not, right?
Grew up in a very musical family. So,
what instrument do you play?
Guitar, harmonica, a little bit of steel.
Wow. Now, you see, that's what we should have been doing on the campaign.
That's right.
Running around, playing a little harmonica and some steel.
I did play the guitar and harmonica at a couple events.
There you go. All right. John Norris, ladies and gentlemen, we are out to lunch at Trostel's Dish, and that is Quick Bites. Three questions that we ask each and every guest. Always the same three questions, so you get to know more about who we're out to lunch with. John, thanks for doing that. And we're going to continue our conversation and get down really deep in the weeds with John Norris when we continue as we go out to lunch at Trostel's Dish. Once again, that was Quick Bites, three questions with John Norris. Now, tomorrow we'll have our entire Out to Lunch segment up, so you can hear John talk about his passion for farming, sustainable agriculture, politics, public policy, and much more. In the meantime, we've got links to the State Public Policy Group on our radio blog. And also, a photo of John wearing his cowboy boots. Why not, right? Thanks for listening.